Hi, Gina.
Hi.
So, first question, where is your hometown?
I was born and raised in Koreatown, LA. I live in the same condo in Koreatown, LA. It's in the heart of Koreatown, LA, near Mata, for all of my life. So, I've seen Koreatown change so much as from when I was little to right now. And there's, like, the matter of gentrification. And I know people are complaining about it, but then Koreatown was actually really dangerous when I was young.
Yeah.
So, like, my parents would never let me go out after when the sun went down because it was dangerous. People were walking around holding guns. It was a dangerous area.
Did you experience something personally? Was there, like, an incident that made you feel unsafe in Koreatown? Or, like, why do you think Koreatown is dangerous, basically?
Yeah, I never experienced anything big. Like, no one was out there trying to shoot me.
Holding
a knife to my throat. But then, I mean, things that I've experienced, anyone in any small city, anywhere in the world, must have experienced, like, things like catcalling, like, dark alleyways. It's not, just like I said, there's nothing big. So, like, you know the LA riots, right? I think that's, like, a big thing for how I see Koreatown, because my dad was here when the LA riots were happening, and he was working in a market. So he told me stories about how, like, they had to, they, like, surround the perimeter with carts and, like, rice packets. And I still see, like, remnants of the LA riots. Like, you know, I live right next to, you know that sidewalk near Madang, like, the Jamba Juices? But then before the Jamba Juice, there's that, like, whole abandoned area.
I think I know Changda.
Apparently, it's been abandoned since the riots.
What? I didn't know that.
Honestly, it's not, I don't know if it's credible, but my dad told me, so I think I see it every day.
I don't think you, especially in LA, I don't think you need a clear, like, incident. It's just, you know, the culture. It's like, it's embedded, like, in Los Angeles.
But now, because of gentrification, quote unquote, it's so much safer. So much brighter, so many more lights.
What is it like growing up? What was it like growing up in such a metropolitan? You know, because LA is, like, pretty, it's, like, one of the biggest cities in the world. What was it like growing up in that sort of environment?
Well, I can't really say exactly because I've never grown up in any other environment. So it's just how I grew up, you know? There's nothing for me to compare to. But I definitely feel like I grew up a lot more open-minded because I'm seeing, because, you know, in general, city people are a lot more, eccentric than, like, out in the suburban people or, like, rural areas. So I grew up seeing a lot of something I grew up a lot seeing a lot was, like, your speech reminded me, like, homelessness. And as you know, like, LA is home to so many homeless, which is like one-eighth of the whole homeless population in the US or something.
And then California, I think California is 1/8, and then LA is 1/16 of the whole country.
Oh, that's huge.
Yeah.
So I was exposed to homelessness from a young age. And really seeing the importance of education was drilled into me from a young age.
Especially, like, you know, Asian culture.
And I'm not saying, that's not to say that homeless people are uneducated. But it's just in general, they don't get the same opportunities, and that's often due to lack of education. The opportunity to get a good education. So, living in the city and being exposed to all sorts of people, my parents' words seemed more serious. Like, it wasn't just nagging. Well, I'm sounding like a real Asian kid right now, but, like, like, I had a specific, from a young age, I had a goal set mind, kind of. I was scared, honestly, to
fail.
So you're
driven by, like, fear.
And, like, it's not all, like, rainbows and sunshine in the city, mm-hmm. you know?
So you were exposed to that sort of, like, darkness. Yeah. Like, there is going to be darkness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that city kids mature a little faster because mm-hmm. they're allowed to go out on their own. I mean, mm-hmm. not, if they're not allowed, they yeah. go out because there's a lot of stuff to do, right? Mm-hmm. Navigating the city on your own, like, learning how to land on your feet mm-hmm. from a young age, I think. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's good.
Do you live or work in Koreatown?
Yes, I live in Koreatown right now. Mm-hmm. I will soon not because I work in college. I do work in Koreatown.
Mm-hmm.
It's called In Art Education. It's mm-hmm. like a art portfolio college prep academy. I don't know what to call it. I started working there actually like as when Corona started. So like late February, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I was working part-time in the beginning because I still had school until May.
Right.
But I'm working full-time now because I'm done with school.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do is I help with essay writing.
Mm-hmm.
College essays.
Yeah.
That's what I help with.
So how did you start working at InArt?
Okay, well, that was where I was making my portfolio.
Right, yeah.
So, Wonjangnim was like, so she knew I wrote, mm-hmm. and she liked my essays.
Mm-hmm.
So she was saying, even when I was a student there, she was like, oh, you should work here as an essay teacher, I'll hire you right away.
Mm-hmm.
So stay in connections. I was like, nice.
I see.
And why do I work there? I work there because I need money. Yeah.
Realist.
Because I'm in charge of groceries because Corona, my dad can't work anymore.
Uh-huh.
So he takes care of, I don't know, like day-to-day stuff. I'm in charge of the groceries.
Mm.
So that's why I'm working more now.
I see. Do you like where you're working?
Yeah, I actually like it a lot because I like working with kids. And I'm a writer, too.
Right.
I like editing other people's writing.
Mm. So how did you get into writing?
It started off with me liking reading.
Mm-hmm.
Because I went to kindergarten twice because my mom wanted to help Janice out or something. But then I obviously learned everything the first year. Mm-hmm. The second year, teacher just let me do whatever I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And what else are you going to do at that age, you know, because there's no computers or anything. I read a lot at that time. And then after that, I just kept reading. I feel like that naturally led to me wanting to make my own stories.
Mm. Around what age were you like, writing is something that I want to do?
Oh, actually pretty early.
Mm.
I think around fifth grade, which is, how old are you in fifth grade?
Like 10.
Yeah, 10.
What is your journey as a writer?
But at that time, I was reading around, like, you know, like young adult novels.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All of those are about, like, fantasy.
Right, yeah.
Fiction, like, you know, real cheesy stories.
Yeah.
And I feel like all art, like, writing is an art, right?
Mm-hmm.
All art, or all artists kind of start with, like, imitation.
Right.
Whether they like it or not.
Uh-huh.
So I was trying to write, like, I don't even remember, like, spin-offs almost.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, real cheesy stuff. And, because I didn't know you can write about yourself or, like, anything other than, like, fake stories.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't read anything like that. Around 8th grade when I started that blog, I wrote about my family for the first time. And that was when I was reading, like, memoirs, and I realized that, oh, hey, you can write about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I started focusing on my family, and then I wasn't even the language, like, actual writing itself.
Mm.
I studied how words flowed. Like, I just read, like, you know, like, little instruction booklets, or, like, just looked up on the internet. And I tried to read a lot of contemporary literature, because I just liked the style. So that's when I was discovering, like, oh, like, style. It's not just about the content, it's also delivery. But at that time, like, there's really nothing to do. Plus, I'm, like, technology not good at it. I didn't even discover YouTube until I was like 10th grade.
Dang.
I was just not even a nerd. I didn't even know what I was doing.
Mm.
Yeah. So writing was actually fun. And that blog, like, I had deadline every week now. Mm-hmm. A deadline, you know, even if no one was reading, it was still like an internal deadline. So mm-hmm. I just kept writing. But it didn't become hard anymore. And almost like a habit. So to this day, I still write because of that habit.
What kinds of things do you write?
Now, I am still writing about me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a narcissist at heart. And writing almost became really like reflection. And it helps if you can package it in a pretty way. Like, you know, language is pretty.
Yeah, yeah.
And writing is pretty. So, like, really trying to think about how to package it and deliver it makes you think about what happened more. I think a lot. Because when you write, you have to think a lot.
Yeah. How did you get into art? And was it something that you were always interested in? Or, like, how did you start that sort
of... You know, like, Korean parents, like, they make you draw on your little, you know, the IKEA easel and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I've always taken it so seriously.
Mm-hmm.
As a kid, but after I started writing, I realized, like, oh, words are not, sometimes aren't enough. There are other, even better ways to say some things that words can't say. So I started watercolor first, remember? Mm-hmm. Because it was just pretty. Yeah, but I wouldn't say that's art. I would just say that was just making something pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I really started, like, making my own stuff, like, getting my ideas out on, like, a physical thing,
mm-hmm.
was when I was making my portfolio. In the beginning, it was for college. But then, like I said, like, even before, I was always interested. Like, I liked art.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't, like, I was forced to do it. It was just obviously helpful for me to get into college, so I did it. Mm-hmm. But then...
Like, it turned into something more personal and, like...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I saw parallels between my writing and my art.
Mm-hmm.
My ideas were mixing, and then I really got into photography and video because my writing is about people, and that captures a specific something that, like, photography or video can't capture,
mm-hmm.
but it's also the same way the other way around. And I realized you can go a lot more, like, abstract
mm-hmm.
with visual art.
Mm.
Like, that video I made last year, like, it makes no sense.
Yeah.
Surface levelly. But then if you, like, I mean, I hope there's a deeper message, not because I made it, but because it's based off something that was already made, and I made it my own. Like, with art, because everything's been done before,
mm-hmm.
when you use something that's not yours, that also becomes, like, powerful. Use it in the right way. Like, for the video with me and with you in it, mm-hmm. I was basing it off The Perfect Human by... I'm not saying this name, like, Maria Les. Visual art can capture, especially photography, can capture things in an instant. Like, that's the charm, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, fleeting moments.
Yeah.
But writing is, like I said, you have to think about it deeply.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the difference. Even if you're writing about the same thing as your like, taking a photo of, they are different because of the mediums. And I really thought I was, like, charmed by mediums, basically. So I was trying out the same ideas about my family and about Koreanness, but then it was just in different mediums.
What are your thoughts on Koreatown?
So I think about this a lot, because Koreatown is, like, a physical manifestation of my being, kind of. Because Koreatown is... Actually, Koreatown doesn't have official borders, so
yeah.
I like to call it, like, it's cheesy, but a town in limbo. Like, you know, limbo is, like, a place of uncertainty because we're Catholics.
Yeah.
Between heaven and hell,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So it's, like, that's what they call limbo. Yeah, so I always refer to it as a town in limbo because it's really unlike any other American Californian area,
mm-hmm.
even if those areas are ethnic. Like, I say that it has Californian skies, but also Korean air.
Mm.
It's, like, a really weird, it's a weird place. And I feel really at home here because it's the home of a lot of second-generation Korean-Americans, right?
Right, yeah.
That's me, too.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. It's a strange place, but it's a place that allows me to be unsure in who I am. Like, it's both American and Korean.
Yeah. Where is your favorite place in Koreatown?
My favorite place is Koreatown Plaza. I love the food court there because, like, you know, Korean moms are kind of crazy.
Yeah.
So when I was little, like, all the Korean moms would gather with their kids, including me.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, we'd all go to Koreatown Plaza and get pho there. Everyone knows the Ajushi there.
Like, mm-hmm.
All the Korean Americans know him.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd all get pho, and then, like, the kids would finish eating. And then we go to the art box to, like, pencils and stuff and run around the fountain.
Oh, yeah. How has your life changed because of coronavirus?
Yeah, what was your biggest... Yeah, so actually, it's kind of lame answer, but it's definitely schooling. Because I worked, as you know, I worked pretty hard to get into a good college because I saw it as my ticket out, kind of. And then a way to, like, make up for all my parents have poured into me. But, and I never saw a gap year as part of my plan.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's becoming a definite possibility because of COVID. Because right now, all schools are potentially going to be online.
Oh, even
my school, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because it's, my school's located in a very...
Yeah.
Dangerous area right now for COVID.
Wait, where is Yale? I forgot.
Connecticut.
Connecticut.
Like, in the beginning, I was really sad because I was honestly really excited to go.
Because
I was like, yeah, I'm finally getting out of this bubble. You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, going back to the question, biggest way my life has changed. Well, I guess I'd say, like, this pandemic is giving me the opportunity to look outside of my quote-unquote plan, and it's just opening up new possibilities for my future.
What are you planning to do during that break?
I recently started planning for it. My first thing I'm going to do is an internship.
How long is that going to be?
A month and a half.
Oh, okay. Have you gotten any, like, do you know where you're going
to... No, so I've applied to 3 so far.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about them.
Mm-hmm.
They're about to come out later this month.
Okay.
After the internship, I'm going to go to Korea because that's where my mom is.
Mm-hmm.
She has a restaurant there, so I'll be helping out at night. But as a day job, there's also an art there in Korea.
Oh.
So I'll again be teaching essay and helping kids do their portfolio in Korea during the day. And, like, my promise, because Yale, if you want to do a gap year, they make you write, like, an essay. And one of my promises was that I'll finish writing a novel by the time I go back.
In one year. What's your novel going to be?
Like, a really small novel.
Like a novella?
Yeah.
Do you know, have you started writing it? Or what do you...
Yeah, I started writing it. So it's a homage to my apartment. Because one of the biggest things I was taking photos of or, like, trying to make art about was space. And I did a piece about my apartment unit because I really think that, and it's going to get a little cheesy, like, people can hide things, but, like, spaces and homes cannot. Because, like, not only the energy people are, like, embedded in spaces, but then, you know, people leave things behind, like, just being around.
Mm-hmm.
And that says a lot about in a strange way. And if you look at someone's face, I think you can really tell who they are in a way that might be shallow, but I think it's kind of, like, vulnerable. Yeah, so I'm doing, like a memory piece about my home, my apartment, and my writing, my novel that I'm working on right now.
Okay. So what kind of direction do you want to take your novel in? Is it just about your own apartment, or is it about, like, the building as a whole and, like, the different people that live in the building?
So the focus will look like it will be the people. So it's going to be about my family. Like, environment has a huge impact on how people end up, you know? So it will, like, indirectly be about my apartment, and I'm going to, like, just technically speaking, there's going to be a lot of, like, descriptive writing about the space. It will be about the whole apartment because, like, my neighbors and stuff, I've been here for, like, all my life, and it will almost be like what I'm trying to establish is, like, it's too small of a space to hold memories that I think are too big. I'm trying to explore the effect of the space, the physical space you call home, on your ideas of home.
People wanted to know more about how you deal with corona. So more about your daily experience with working and grocery shopping, and how do you deal with all that? Like, what precautions do you take? Stuff like that.
Okay, I'm gonna be honest. I'm really not good at keeping precautions, following government orders. Not because I'm like anti-mask or screw the government. Mm-hmm. It's just I just forget that we're in a pandemic, which is so ignorant to say, because people are literally dying. I mean, I wear a mask everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
6 feet apart rule. I'm on the sidewalk if someone's coming. We at the same time. Groceries, I definitely don't go as much.
Mm.
We bulk buy a lot. Definitely not hanging out as much, because there's, first of all, it's dangerous. Second of all, there's nowhere to go even if you wanted to. Yeah, but honestly, I'm still hanging out sometimes. It's not good. Because I'm young, it's going to sound so bad. I know I'm not invisible, but I feel invisible. It still feels far away, which is crazy to say because we're living in it.
Yeah.
But it still feels like I'm watching it from far away, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you.